May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be holy and pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and redeemer. Amen. We have arrived once again, not at the end, but at the beginning. The very beginning of the story, of our story, as a Christian branch of those who put their trust in the God of Israel. There are plenty of songs written to commemorate the Advent season, songs we sing year after year. O come, Emmanuel, once in David's royal city, angels we have heard on high, just to name a few. Yet the words that have been ringing in my ears for the past few weeks are relatively new. They are from the mouth of that great poet and theologian, Chance the Rapper. The day is on its way, it couldn't wait no more. Here it comes, ready or not. The day is on its way, it couldn't wait no more. Here it comes, ready or not. Here it comes. I doubt he had an Advent sermon in mind when he first sung those words. But it captures the moment we find ourselves in. It couldn't ring any less true to me, at least today. The day is on its way as we enter a new year. Not just of Christmas in the past, but of new hope. Not just of presents and trinkets, but of that fullness of life that is more than the sum of all our worldly possessions. Not just of holiday cheer, but of that peace which can only come from the Prince of Peace and Lord of Lords, that belonging which only comes from the God whose name is Emmanuel, God with us, God with every one of us. Yes, we gather here to tell that story once again, or rather, we gather to prepare the way for that story once again. Traditions, many traditions shape our observance, many of them bound up in the life of our families, our culture, our communities. It may be that you grew up in the church. It may be that you are familiar with this music, the vestments, the Advent wreath, and the greenery. It may be that some of you wandered into the church with fresh eyes, drawn in, maybe sometimes confused by the spectacle, the pomp and circumstance of it all. Either way, we mark the time leading up to Christmas in distinct and predictable ways. Ways that we pass down from generation to generation. Ways that shape our expectations. Now, given the joy that we usually associate with this season, it's somewhat surprising to find ourselves reading scriptures that sound more like the end of days than the beginning of a new and joyful one. The lectionary today points not to the joy-filled observance of long-held traditions, but to their disruption. In our Old Testament passage for today, Isaiah cries for help in the face of exile. The prophet envisions not a world coming together, but a world torn apart. How long will God hide God's face from the people of Israel? Mark sounds like a preacher on a street corner, on his soapbox, warning about war and rumors of war, the clouds closing in, the enemy at the door. These texts for today, bound up so neatly in our lectionary, point not to joy-filled days, but to chaos, tumult, confusion, when hope for a return to normalcy seems like a far-flung dream. Just what are we supposed to get from them at the beginning of this Advent season? Now, it may be important to take a step back to stop ourselves from rushing ahead to the Christmas story. It may be that Advent, the season of preparation, is not preparing us for life as usual. It may be that Advent is preparing us for the disruption of things as usual. our hallowed worship places may not be under siege like in the time of Isaiah or the time of Jesus. Yet there is plenty of chaos around us. It may be that disruption is the one thing needful to shed light on the chaos that has been present all along. It may be that disruption is necessary to expose those sins we uphold by our silence, the unhealthy patterns and relationships that rend us apart rather than bring us together. It may be, after all, that there are actually some traditions that are not worth preserving, certain patterns that need to be disrupted before they can be redeemed. Long line of discreet and unquestioned abuses, sometimes perpetrated largely by men, on the bodies of women and others, people without the power and support to call them into question. It may be that some traditions are worth disrupting. Some things have to be broken open before they are healed. Some ugly things must come to light before we find our way anew. Elsewhere in the New Testament, St. Paul writes, "For now we see through a glass darkly, but then we will see face to face. For now we know in part, but then we will know just as we are also known." I always found a passage beautiful, but today I wonder if I've ever really understood what it means to see face to face, to see our reality face to face, to recognize what is, not just what we wish it would be, requires us to have courage, to face up to the pain and hurt around us, to see face to face may expose some ugly things in the places we live in. To see face to face requires that we step into this with courage. The early Christian community had a tradition of sorts, a tradition that they'd begun of observing the Lord's Day on Sunday, the day of Christ's resurrection, as opposed to the last day of the week, the Sabbath. They used to call this the eighth day. I love that. The cycle of seven of creation, broken as it is, redeemed as the inbreaking of a new day, shines forth every time we gather together. The eighth day of creation, when things will be made new. That day, my friends, is on its way. It cannot wait. Here it is to stay. The question for us is, are we ready to step into that new day? May we have the courage and boldness to do that with God's help. Amen.